On behalf of us all, can I begin by thanking both Richard and John for their presentations. What John has told us today is that the third sector, social enterprises, charities, community and voluntary groups, aren't just a growing part of our economy, they're also providing services to people that government struggles to reach. I've made no secret of my desire to see the work that the third sector does on behalf of the public sector expanded. I spent Thursday morning at the Northern Ireland Council for Voluntary Action, where I heard from the likes of Bryson and the Prince's Trust and Belfast Central Mission about the work that they are already doing on behalf of the public sector, delivering services ranging from recycling to working with the disabled. But I certainly think that there is scope for expansion. Our job in government is to provide, or is to achieve outcomes that change people's lives for the better, to improve our economy, to strengthen communities, and to create opportunities for everyone. To attain those outcomes, we provide services. Surveys show that people simply don't care who provides those services so long as they are of a sufficiently high standard. The public sector, the private sector, the third sector, it doesn't matter. People just want delivery. You know yourselves, whenever you put your bin out in front of your house, you don't care who lifts it, so long as it's lifted on the day they say they'll lift it, and it doesn't cost you too much in your rates bills. Since setting public sector reform as a priority, I'm often asked the question, why? Yes, it's about getting more for our money. Because our budget remains under pressure, we have to find innovative and creative ways to deliver public services. It is absolutely about using the power of the public sector to boost our economy. Look at how an organisation like Bryson can use the experience and expertise that it has developed here in Northern Ireland to export its services to Ireland and to Wales and bring value home and create jobs here. But above all, it's about you, our ratepayers and our taxpayers, and meeting the demands that you rightly have of your government. People pay their taxes and they pay their rates, and in return from us in government, they expect the highest standard of services. Now, hand on heart, can we honestly say that Northern Ireland has the most effective and the most efficient government in the world? I don't think we can. We've made huge strides forward, but we still wrestle with challenges that states everywhere do. That's meeting rising public expectations at a time whenever public spending is under pressure. Now, I'm not hung up on ideology or driven by dogma. I just want to see our government serve its people and serve its people well. Why should we pay for failure or protect parts of the public sector that simply haven't succeeded just because it is a path of least resistance? Northern Ireland has a large public sector. It does lots of things really, really well, but it doesn't do everything really well. I'm not in the business of wanting to shrink the size of the state just for the sake of it, but I am in the business of wanting to reform and transform our state so that it can do more with less. So that's why, as well as my department trying to find ways in which we can generate more opportunities for the third sector, I am going to work with Nelson and I'm going to work with Edwin to see if we can develop pilots of the payment by results and social impact bonds that John talked about so that we can deliver better services for our people. People of Northern Ireland deserve the best public services. It doesn't matter who delivers them or how they deliver them. Now, Conference, I grew up not too far from here, 3 miles away in the small town of Cumber. I still live there, half a mile away from my family home. Cumber isn't the wealthiest town in the world, but it's not the poorest either. Growing up there, I learned lots of things about life. What I saw then and what I see now are people not living in the lap of luxury, but ordinary people trying to get on with their lives, trying to raise a family, striving day in and day out, yet still making a contribution to the community that they live in. They're worried about holding on to their jobs, and they struggle to pay their bills. They pay their taxes, and they pay their rates, sometimes for services that they don't think always work well for them. They wonder why, if they have to pay all of their taxes, some companies can hire lawyers and accountants to reduce their tax bills by millions. Or why, if they have to work every hour that they can, some people can seem to make a career out of avoiding work altogether. That picture is replicated right across Northern Ireland. Everywhere, people are under pressure. Northern Ireland is coming out of desperately difficult times. economic inactivity remains at the highest level in the United Kingdom. Our construction sector was crippled, and the Coalition took its axe to our budget. But at long, long last, we are starting to see signs of improvement. Unemployment is falling, business activity is rising, and the housing market is getting better. But in spite of all of the positive indications that we're moving and entering into economic recovery, the last place that it seems that we're going to see recovery, as Richard's presentation showed us, is in people's pockets. You know, the ability of any government to intervene successfully or effectively in a situation where incomes have fallen and costs have risen is limited, especially a small government like ours. I can't slash your energy charges. I can't cut the cost of your groceries every week, but I can do something about your rates bill. Since the day and hour I started this job, I've been quizzed by all and sundry about whether I'll dramatically increase rates or whether I'll argue for the introduction of water charges. This party has rightly earned the reputation as the low rates party, and I'm not going to be the person who squanders that inheritance. I am proud of the fact that it is this party that has maintained household taxes at the lowest in Northern Ireland, at the lowest levels in the whole of the United Kingdom, paying less than half here of what their equivalents do in England, that we have helped 32,000 pensioners living alone to receive rates relief of £22 million, and that we have kept over £300 million in the accounts of local manufacturing firms through industrial derating and given rates relief to now over half of all business properties in Northern Ireland. Now, the public purse could certainly do with the extra millions that a big rates rise would bring, but not if it comes at a cost to your pocket. We have started the process of setting the budget for 2015 and for 2016. And even though every indicator suggests that we'll be well down the road of economic recovery by then, I know that people will still be feeling the pinch. So with that in mind, I can announce today, conference, that in 2015, the DUP will freeze, in real terms, the regional rate for householders in Northern Ireland. And we will freeze the regional rate for businesses as well, the eighth year in a row. Yeah. When we promise the people of Northern Ireland that we'll give them low rates, we deliver. One thing that I have noticed in this job is that day in and day out, you're bombarded with all sorts of facts and figures. Very little of them make any long-term lasting impression on you. But one did make a difference, and it shocked me. A few years ago, the Consumer Council found that the age group most concerned about dealing with the downturn, the age group that were least optimistic about the future, were 25 to 34-year-olds. Now, Northern Ireland is in a far better position than the Republic of Ireland and virtually every other EU country. But here, still, we have a generation least touched by the troubles, best placed to benefit from peace and potential prosperity, actually worried about the future. And it's little wonder why. Many of them are mortgaged to the hilt. Maybe they're in negative equity. Most of them can't get onto the property ladder at all. Yes, they're well educated, but there were few graduate jobs, and they're still saddled with student debt. Some will have started a family and be reliant on just one income. In short, times are tough. The people of Northern Ireland don't want to see their politicians fighting with each other. They want to see them fighting for them, working hard for Northern Ireland. John F. Kennedy, killed 50 years ago yesterday, once said that efforts and courage are not enough without purpose and direction. Well, conference, we know that we will put the effort in. We know that we have the courage that is required, because our purpose is to move Northern Ireland from an age of austerity to an era of opportunity, so that that generation that I talked about, that generation of 25 to 34-year-olds, and the generations that follow them, can get good jobs, can own their own homes, and don't have to look beyond these shores for the opportunities to fulfil their potential. Young people in Northern Ireland of 2013 are in a far better position than my generation were. The progress that we have made, the companies that we have attracted, give us hope that better days do indeed lie ahead. This party, and this party alone, is fighting hard to find the best ways to deliver the best public services for the people of Northern Ireland. This party, and this party alone, is fighting hard to ensure that household taxes in Northern Ireland are at the lowest levels in the United Kingdom. This party, our party, the Democratic Unionist Party, is working hard for you. Thank you.